worship team for leading us tonight, and it's so good to see you on a rather humid day in Memphis, Tennessee. I think that summer has arrived. How many of you are sweating? At least you did before you got here tonight. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house. I want to welcome everybody that's here in person and also that's with us live stream tonight. I did see a few people that I haven't seen in a while. Brother Sidney, is that you? That's you. Brother Sidney usually comes to 8:30 on Sunday morning, and I haven't seen him during this entire pandemic. So I want y'all to give Brother Sidney a big hand. He's a great guy. Great guy. Such a joyful spirit, youthful spirit that he has. Kim Birdwell, you have a very special, honored, lovely guest tonight. Who do you have with you tonight?
My mother.
Can you tell us her name?
Lois Kraft.
Lois Kraft. Would you welcome Miss Lois Kraft? Yes. I met a young lady tonight that I hadn't met. I've met her before, but I didn't remember that I'd met her. How many of y'all have those days? And that's Madeline. So I want you to give Madeline a big hand. She's waving right back there. So I'm glad that we get to see her, that we get to see her tonight. Some of you are wondering about these balloons up front. I know that you are. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about them, but I just happened to lay eyes on two other people that I haven't seen in a while, and that's Mark and Jan Deesum. So Mark and Jan, it's good to see you all back there. I wanted to give you an idea of what these balloons are about. VBS, Vacation Bible School, is coming up, and we're doing it differently this year. Traditionally, we do it on campus in this room. There's usually 300 or 400 kids that participate in that. It takes about 150 volunteers to do a Vacation Bible School on our campus, but with all that's been going on with COVID, they have to plan that months and months ahead, and we didn't think we could get 150 volunteers this year. So we are going to the people this year. We're going into neighborhoods, host homes. They're going to be inviting kids on their street to come, and particularly kids that may not have a church, that may not be exposed to the gospel. So we're doing that across the city this year, and I want you to make sure that you pick up one of these Press Play, which is the VBS promotion this year. They're out in the narthex of Seabrook Hall. Please pick one of these out. They will tell you how you can get involved. We're asking that everybody be involved this year, and there's ways here that you can get involved with what you're able to do. So how many of you will pick one of these up? In fact, can I have a volunteer out there that will make sure that, Marion, will you help me out there make sure that you push these on people, okay? We don't want anybody getting out of here without a VBS brochure, and there's details on how to do that. And if you have any questions, call Pastor Brad Bogue, and his information is on this Press Play card. So I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in Vacation Bible School this year. Well, how many of you know that we're on our third week of All for One, which is a study of spiritual gifts? The very first week, we had an introduction from 1 Peter chapter 4 on how God leaves no believer out when it comes to passing out or distributing spiritual gifts. We are truly a gifted people as members of the body of Christ. And God distributes those gifts according to His will in each one of our lives. So that first week, we introduced spiritual gifts, and we said that really, at least for our purposes, spiritual gifts fall under three categories: speaking gifts, serving gifts, and signifying gifts, or sign gifts. Last week, we covered speaking gifts, the fivefold ministry. How many of you can recite that? I hope you'll be able to keep your hand moving after last week. I'm not that creative this week, so you're going to really have to listen. But today we're on serving gifts. And there's an assortment or variety of scriptures that I'll be pointing to. Most of these scriptures simply mention the gift itself without much explanation. So I'm going to try to give you explanation for these gifts as seen in scripture and in personal life stories. So I want to read from Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, because it mentions this category of serving gifts. It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And these next few we talked about already. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And here's one that we need to be paying attention of. Or if ministry, and that word is diakonia, and it means service. Anytime you see ministry, you can just, a synonym for ministry is service. They mean the same thing, diakonia. If anybody has the gift of ministry, let us use it in our ministering or our serving. He who teaches in teaching, which we talked about last week. He who exhorts in exhortation, which we talked about last week. And then three of the ones we'll be covering tonight are listed in this passage. He who gives with liberality, talking about the gift of giving. He who leads, you need to do that with diligence, talking about the gift of leadership or administration. And lastly, he who shows mercy, we are to do that with an attitude of cheerfulness. Now, I want to let you know right before we go through this list that you're going to hear some of these gifts and you're going to think they kind of sound the same. And here's what happens. That's why I said that don't limit yourself to having received one gift from the Holy Spirit, because I think many people, probably most people in the body of Christ, have gifts. These gifts can overlap and they can work together in the kingdom of God. And that's what happens a lot of times, is that God has to put two or three of these gifts together to really do the job as you're ministering in His name. So I want you to keep that in mind. The first gift that's mentioned as a serving gift is the gift of helps. Everybody say helps. We're used to saying help, but we're not used to saying helps. Gift is actually plural in the text, meaning that it should read the gifts of helps. And the reason why there are gifts of helps, how many of you know there are a lot of needs? Oh, yeah. Lots of needs. The needs are limitless. And that's why the gifts of helps are also limitless. Because God has help for every need. That's a good place to say amen. God has a gift for every need in the body of Christ. Most scholars believe the gifts of helps that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:28 are synonymous with the gifts of service that I just read to you from Romans chapter 12, verse 7. And here's a definition of the gifts of helps. And by the way, there's a lot of information tonight again because I got that teaching hat on again. I'm doing the best I can. I don't expect you to write all these down. I had about 10 people last week say, just send it to me. And if you want to do that so you can just listen and hear it for the first time, then I can send it to you, and then you can go through it a little bit more thoroughly with your Bible in your hand. So the gifts of helps. The gift of helps is the Spirit-given ability to help or serve the church in some supporting role. This is not the kind of role that is a speaking gift that's up front. It's the kind of role that's behind the scenes in some supportive role. The reason that this gift has been given to the body of Christ is it freed the apostles and those who did have speaking gifts to focus exclusively on the Word of God and on prayer and not get lost in the demands of serving. For any of you who have been in a serving role, you know that that can get, as my granddaddy used to say, it can get a bit tedious. Serving, there's so many details in serving. How many of you know that? There's lots of details. You've got some list people out there. We've got list people out there that keep a list. You couldn't live without your list because you're a server and it's important to you to get things done. But what happens when you have a speaking gift in the body of Christ is that those serving things keep you away from studying the Word of God and from communicating with God in prayer at the level you really need to be in tune with God. So these gifts of helps are a way that God said people can serve those with speaking gifts so that they can have time to dig in the Word and to be on their knees in prayer so that they can really serve a feast for the people of God.
Many names are mentioned in the Bible of those who excelled in this gift of helps. Now, the story of Ruth in the Old Testament and how she helped Naomi, you know, I know that, we think that's pre-Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was around then too. But if you ever think of a person that embodies this gifts of helps, it would be Ruth. How she helped her mother-in-law during the worst time of her life. She walked right alongside of her and made sure that every detail was taken care of when it came to the needs of her mother-in-law, Naomi. We know from Scripture in the New Testament, the Gospels in particular, that many, many people helped Jesus in His ministry. Many people hosted Him. The Bible says He had no place to lay His head. So there were many people that took Him in. And there were many people that fed Him and that traveled with Him and that took care of Him and that loved Him. And they did that through serving Jesus. We know that there are two mentioned who ministered to Paul. Timotheus and Erastus helped or ministered to Apostle Paul, Acts 19:22. And then we see that there's an entire list in Romans 16. If you want to do some study, and I know by the time you get to Romans 16, you're exhausted. Because that is really a theological powerhouse of a book. And sometimes you get to the Romans 16 and you quit too early and you don't realize the significance of Romans 16, where Paul gives a list of 26 names of people who had the gifts of helps. People that traveled with Him, that took care of Him, that ministered to His needs. 26 people, 10 of those that he mentions by name were women. So he wanted to make sure that was more than a list. You know, when you read the Bible, folks, and a name is given, it's just like a name that's given in your life today. Those are important people that had personal relationships with Apostle Paul. And he mentions every one of them by name, and he calls them faithful helpers, and even says, those were people who helped me to the extent that they risked their very lives for my safety. That's how much they helped Apostle Paul. The gifts of helps has been described as love in overalls. Now, I told y'all I'm an old soul, and I know, is there anybody in here that doesn't know what overalls are? My kids may not know. Do y'all know what overalls are? Oh, I feel better already. This gift of helps is love in overalls. It's Christian action. Christianity Today published an article entitled The Lima Bean Gospel. I read every word of it. Here's the premise. It said that the world often views God as bland, flavorless, and powerless, like a bowl of lima beans. Now, I like lima beans. If you put enough butter and salt and pepper, anything will taste good. Amen? But they're saying there that God is often seen like that because the church talks about love but doesn't always demonstrate love. So in a sense, we have a lima bean gospel unless we live a life that you could describe as love in overalls, where this gift of helps characterizes the body of Christ. When Jesus talks about the church, he envisions a community engaged in helpful, self-sacrificing mission that goes to great lengths to demonstrate costly love through serving. I said that these gifts of helps are unlimited. Folks, there are so many ways that we can serve the Lord and His church. And I just wanted to mention a few. VBS is coming up. You'll see on this list that there are lots of details when it comes to Vacation Bible School. You can make handouts. You can color. You can make snacks. How many of you know that the labor of love in the kitchen goes a long ways? You can make snacks. You can prepare meals for the VBS participants. I remember one man who happened to be a detailed person who noticed every Sunday that his pastor's shoes were dirty and unpolished. You know what this man did? He called his pastor and said, "Pastor, I'm going to be by to your house, and I'm going to get every pair of shoes that you have, and I want to clean them, and I want to shine them up for you, because I know you don't have time to do it." And that's what he did. The gifts of helps. I know a precious lady in our congregation here, Brenda Sanford. She is an incredible seamstress. She noticed one day that I kept pulling at my clergy robe because my little clip had come unbuttoned. and one of my sleeves had gone inside out, so my robe was literally falling apart from the inside out. And she came up to me and she said, "Brother Chris, I can't sit through another sermon and watch you pull at that robe." She said, "I want you to give me that robe and I'm going to go fix it." And she ministered through the gifts of helps using the gift that she had and had been given by God. I want to mention one more. Everybody say the gifts of helps. The gifts of helps. The ministry of private intercession is one of the greatest gifts of helps that's mentioned in the scripture. Paul said to some of the Corinthians, "You are helping me by praying for me." A young pastor in his first congregation was visited by a few of his more enthusiastic and godly members. They said to this young pastor, "Pastor, you don't seem to be a very strong preacher." That would hurt, wouldn't it? And here's what they said. "And in many situations, Pastor, you perhaps might fail, but we are not going to let that happen. A small group of us are going to meet every Sunday morning before the services to pray for you, for the preaching of the word, and for the people of God." The group grew to more than 1,000 persons, and the pastor became one of America's finest preachers, Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman, helped by prayer. How many of you know that preachers are made by the prayers of God's people? I don't ask your prayers often, not often enough. A prayerless congregation will lead to a powerless pulpit. I had a little old lady that was 4'11" and going to heaven, Sister Minnie Mitchell, and she used to tell me in my very first church, "Brother Chris, I pray for you as often as the Lord brings you to mind." Folks, people gripe about their preachers sometimes that, "Boy, I didn't understand what the preacher said," or, "Boy, the preacher needs to study a little bit more," or, "I don't like the preacher's personality or the way he parts his hair. I'm just glad I got hair to part." You know what I mean? You know what preachers need in America today and across the globe? It's the prayers of God's people. We need revival in the pulpit, and we need revival in the pew. And that begins as we begin to pray one for another that God will light our hearts on fire again, that we will not succumb to a spirit of apathy and lukewarmness and lay over and play dead or go through the motions of a form of godliness, but deny the power of God's word to change our lives. Folks, we are to be a powerhouse. I said that last week, and it's because God, we can't do that in our own strength or resource, but God has given us spiritual gifts to get the job done. The gifts of helps. That's the longest one. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The second gift is the gift of hospitality. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 speaks of the gift of hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 that we read in the introduction 2 weeks ago says to all of us, and it's a command, it's not a suggestion, it says to those who say they're members of the body of Christ, be hospitable to one another, and here's the key, without grumbling. The gift of hospitality is the Spirit-given ability of providing for strangers in need. Now, this originally referred to providing shelter or food for weary travelers, because when the gospel first began to spread, the messengers would travel far and wide, and they often could find no place suitable to lay their head. They literally were on a mission for Christ, but didn't have a place to stay. How many of you know there were no holiday inns when Jesus was here? No holiday inns. So part of the commandment was be hospitable. Open up your home, feed and help those who are ministering in Jesus' name. Receive these people into your heart and into your home. Well, the gift of hospitality has a broader application now, and it refers to our attitude towards other human beings. We may not be able to provide just food or lodging, but really, it's providing or creating what I call grace space in our hearts for people and identifying with their hunger for belonging. There are two needs that we have as members of the body of Christ. We need to believe. We need to have a place that we believe. And we need to have a place that we belong. We need to have that. Every heart is hungry for that gift of belonging. And this gift of hospitality has to do with the way we receive people in our lives, with creating environments where people feel welcome and wanted, because people are special to God and they should be special to us. One of the most important ministries and very underrated ministries in any church is the greeting ministry. The greeting ministry. It's so important. If you're a member of the greeting team, you're on the front line of how somebody sees or experiences a church. It's so important. Most people say, the statistics say that most people decide whether or not they're going to come back to a church in the first 11 minutes of coming on a campus. Now, here's what made me feel good about that. I always thought that I was going to mess it up when they got to me. But how many of you know the preacher's not even up during the first 11 minutes? You have a part to play in receiving strangers. There are people that walk through these doors, both people you're familiar with and people that you're not familiar with, that need to know that they belong. I would cry tears, literal tears, if I thought people left the service of God from worshiping Him and they went home and they shared these words, "Nobody spoke to me today." That is not a friendly church, because I'm going to tell you, Jesus noticed people. And for those with this gift of hospitality, they have a gift at creating space and environment in their hearts. They hold people in their heart, and they're going to make sure that people know that they are noticed. It's amazing to me that one of the first things a baby learns to do is say hi. How many of you ooh and goo when you have a little baby that looks at you and they start waving at you? That just touches your heart, doesn't it? When they say hi and they start waving at you, and you know you never see a baby that does that, that's not happy or joyful. And it's amazing that this gift of greeting transcends all cultures. No matter where you go in the world, a child learns, the very first thing they learn to do is respond with joy to other people. So why, when we get a little bit older, is that gift less important and less enjoyable? It shouldn't be, should it? If anything, we ought to cultivate that gift. The Bible says hospitality will pay off on the day of judgment. I bet we've never thought about this. Matthew 25:35. In some way, we'll be evaluated on how we received those in need, because as we do unto them, we do unto Him. Don't we want to hear Jesus say, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." As we do unto them, we do unto Him. In fact, in the proper use of all of these spiritual gifts, don't forget this. We're exercising all of the spiritual gifts unto Him. Sometimes we get this out of order. We think we're ministering for Him, and we are. But our first blessed privilege is ministering to Him. In fact, if we don't minister to Jesus, if we forget why the gifts have been given and that we're exercising those gifts to Him as an act of worship, then we will not enjoy ministry for Him. Amen? Are y'all still, raise your hands if you're still awake. Praise God. There's three or four of you that are still awake. Some of you are struggling. Number three, the gift of giving. Romans 12:8, verse B. The gift of giving says that he who gives, give with liberality. The gift of giving is the Spirit-given ability to earn money and to give money for the progress of God's work. You're going to love this story. a very successful businessman who was nearing retirement, gave a glorious wedding reception for his only daughter. But right before the reception, he made time to have a short business meeting with his new son-in-law-to-be. The two met in a private room, and this is what the man says. He made him an offer that was almost too good to refuse. He says, "Young man, I love my daughter, and I now welcome you into my family. To show you how much I care for you, I'm going to make you a 50-50 partner in my business. You are now half owner of a very successful business. All you have to do is go down to the factory and learn the operation." The son-in-law interrupted his father-in-law-to-be, and he said, "I hate factories, and I can't stand the noise and the confusion." The father-in-law said, "I see." He said, "Well, then you'll have to go work in operations." The young man once again interrupted and said, "I hate office work. I can't stand being stuck behind a desk." Then the father-in-law felt a bit frustrated, and he says, "Wait a minute." He said, "I just made you half owner of a money-making business. Now you tell me you can't stand factories, and you can't stand offices, and you hate desks. What am I going to do with you?" The young man very succinctly said, "Buy me out." Buy me out. You say, "What does that have to do with giving?" That's the opposite of giving. This represents an attitude that is so prominent in our culture today, and that's a sense of entitlement. That everybody owes us something. It's a problem in today's society, and sometimes it's even a problem in today's church. People demanding everything, but giving so little. Those with this spiritual gift, the gift of giving, are not just takers, but they're givers. Here's the key. He said, "Give with liberality." Another place, he says, "Give cheerfully." Because God loves a cheerful giver. Without this gift of giving, very little would happen. That's just true. Everything that we see and everything that we enjoy, somebody had to invest in that. Somebody had to give in order for that to take place. Sometimes the word liberality is translated simplicity, and it means without pretense. This gift of giving should come without pretense. If it's really a spiritual gift, then there's no ulterior motive behind it for personal gain. But it also refers to an attitude of thanksgiving and joy. There are three kinds of giving. There's grudge giving. I hope you'll remember this. You know what grudge giving says? It says, "I have to." There's duty giving. That means, "I ought to." And then there's thanksgiving that says, "I want to give. It is the joy of my life." And it's not just confined to the rich. We know that from Paul's letter to the 2 Corinthians. He says, Paul spoke of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia who gave in the midst of great trial and out of deep poverty to help people that were even more poor than they were. The gift of giving. Three down and three to go. Can you hang on? The fourth, the gift of leadership. He who leads should lead with diligence. And this gift is also referred to in 1 Corinthians 12:28 as gifts, again plural, gifts of administrations, or the gifts of government. The gift of leadership is the Spirit-given ability to preside, govern, plan, organize, and administer with wisdom and humility. Thank God that some believers do receive the gift of leadership, or nothing would ever get done. That's just true. Every organization must have systems, policies, plans that facilitate the flow of ministry and the operation of the Holy Spirit. I've seen this work even in our congregation here. Let me show you how. Some have the gift of running an effective meeting. You've been in meetings where you think, boy, the person that presided over that meeting, they knew how to get things done and move things along. Everybody got to participate, but the meeting didn't last 3 hours, and we didn't leave with the sense that we didn't get anything done. Anybody ever been in a long meeting like that where you didn't know why you got there, and you didn't know why you were there, and you didn't even know after you got through with the meeting? Some have that gift of presiding over a meeting. We have leaders like that here that really are gifted at being able to conduct a meeting. Some know how to handle the business aspect of the church. Some know how to direct the church's future and organize people and their gifts for maximum fruitfulness. I'm going to give you one of my quotes. This is from my heart, my experience in the church. You know my heart. I don't believe that probably I have this gift of leadership. I'm always looking as a pastor for people in the body of Christ that really have the spiritual gift of leadership so that I can surround myself with them. I want them to know me where I'm gifted, and I want them to know me where I'm not so gifted, so that the body of Christ can fully function. None of us can do everything. We're not all gifted to do everything, but we've got to get in relationship with those that we need to surround us so that the body of Christ can be healthy. Here's my quote. Organization without the Spirit is boredom. Boredom. I could preach on just that line. Organization without the Spirit is boredom. It's lifeless, it's drudgery, it's not life-giving, but it is draining, and you know those systems that are well-run, but they're dead too. Second part, but the Spirit without organization is bedlam. Bedlam. I've seen revivals, big revivals going on, and the Spirit was very active, but the church didn't know how to administer the revival, and there was great chaos, and so it refuted the very thing God wanted to do there. People didn't know what to do with it. So this is important that you have both organization, order, and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And God wants His church to be run with order and ease. A church not organized will be full of disease, and everything will be harder than God wants it to be. But the gift of leadership has a way of killing disease and bringing ease. I want to say this, and I would say this about our church when I asked for prayers before. We live in a time in history where there's a lot going on. And I don't think any leader knows exactly what to do in every area. And I'm going to tell you what my vision is for our church, is that our leaders would find a prayer place again, and we would get on our knees before God. People in these spiritual gifts that are gifted in different ways, we would get on our knees and we would seek God and ask Him how to organize His church and how to flow with ease in our leadership in this church. And I believe God would give us that desire if we were seeking God to help us corporately like that. I think what we do is y'all just assume that your leaders know what we're doing. I hate to bust your bubble. How many of you know that pastors sometimes are not good leaders? I'm going to tell you what the tendency is here, as I've already alluded to earlier. There is so much to do in the life of this congregation. You can find yourself serving and have no time for God's word and have no time for prayer. And you can be drained and busted and sucked dry so easy. And God says, let's organize ourselves for maximum effectiveness in the body of Christ. There's a few people doing everything and a whole lot of people doing nothing. And God says, hey, the spiritual gifts, everybody is to employ their gift for the building up of the church and for its strengthening. Somebody say amen. Now you're on my favorite gift. This is one the Lord has put in my life. It's the gift of mercy. He who shows mercy should do it with cheerfulness. Mercy means to have compassion. It means to suffer with. My favorite definition is the gift of mercy. It knows what it is to suffer someone else's ache in your heart. That's what the gift of mercy is. It's the Spirit-given ability to manifest practical, compassionate, and cheerful love towards suffering members of the body of Christ. And there is a lot of suffering that goes on in the body of Christ. It's feeling something. Reach over and touch your heart. You ever feel somebody's pain in your heart? You say, oh my goodness, I felt that pain go right through my heart when I considered the situation that that person or that family or that group of people are going through in their lives. I know that you know that Pastor Bill Hart has been going through a rough time. Bill's such a faithful member of this group. It looks like Bill may have a cancerous tumor on his lung. And we need to be praying for Pastor Bill. And I know you feel that in your heart. Our own pastor, Pastor Shane, is going through a tremendous physical struggle right now with his right eye. And we need to be praying for him. And here's the deal. We feel that. That's compassion. But mercy is a little different than compassion in that mercy always does something about that which it feels. It's an action that goes beyond just feeling, but it's a doing. Many of you remember the name Ed Hamlet. Anybody remember the name Ed Hamlet? What a saint of God. I received a note from Lisa Weatherford, another saint of God and a longtime member of Christ Church. Right after Ed passed away, Lisa wrote me, and here's what she wrote. She was trying to give me a glimpse of who Ed Hamlet was behind the scenes. She said, "Brother Chris, Ed used to visit my daddy in the nursing home after daddy suffered a stroke and became aphasic, not able to understand or speak hardly anything. He came so often, and he read scripture, and he prayed with daddy. And although he'd never known Ed before, I could tell by daddy's eyes and his precious crooked smile that he recognized Ed every time he came." That's the gift of mercy, not just feeling it in your heart, but doing something about it. This gift of mercy shines in our special needs ministry at Christ Church. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be at the Joy Prom when they have hundreds and hundreds of special need young people. They hold a big prom for them, and they have a date, and they treat them like royalty. Your heart just is so warmed and touched, because I've told you before, how many of you know that we're all special needs in some way? Every one of us. We need that gift of love and that gift of belonging. We want to be treated and received well. And I tell you, that gift is so visible in this special needs ministry at Christ Church. It's also evident in our funeral guild ministry. The number of people from our congregation that say, you know what, I can't heal the hurt, but I just want to be a presence in this church when people have a funeral. I want to greet people. I want to make sure that they know what to do, and I just want to be here to say that I'm with you right now as you struggle. It also operates in our men's ministry, who often go to feed the homeless and love the people on the street. And I want to mention this one lastly. This would pertain to this service. You know, months ago, we lost one of our dear members, John Pell, to a house fire. Elizabeth was his beloved sister. They lived together for a long time after their parents died. And Elizabeth was traumatized, having literally watched her brother become a victim to that house fire. She had a really difficult time dealing with that in her own heart and psyche. When that house fire happened, folks, the needs were limitless. She had nothing that she needed. 100% of everything needed to be done for her in that moment. She had no food to eat. She had no house to go home to. She didn't know where anything was. She couldn't stay by herself. So literally, through the hands and feet and hearts of a lot of our ladies, organized really by Susie Andrews and Suzanne Snipes and so many of you ladies, y'all came together as the hands and feet of Christ. You gave financially. Tom Huddleston, who's a CPA, organized her finances, made all of these calls for her. I'm telling you, it was the body of Christ in action, not just feeling her ache, but saying, we're going to be a part of doing something to help you. And now God literally has brought her out of the ashes, placed her at Kirby Pines in a clean, safe, well-fed environment, and God has taken care of every need because of the gift of mercy that has operated through this body of Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. Let's give God a hand clap for that. I just thank God for that. I'm so proud. I brag on y'all all the time. I say, you wouldn't believe those Saturday night people. They're supernatural. They're supernatural. They're using their gifts for God. An extraordinary group of people. The last gift I want to cover is the gift of faith. It's a great one to end on. 1 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says, to some in the body of Christ, God has given a spiritual gift of faith by the same Holy Spirit. This gift of faith listed in 1 Corinthians 12:9 is more than saving faith. The Bible says that God gives every person a measure of faith so that they can accept Christ and receive Christ into their hearts. Everybody that's a born-again believer has that. But to continue the Christian life also requires faith. The Scripture says we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. But not all believers have the kind of faith that Paul talks about in the gift of faith. This gift is mountain-moving faith. I love that. The gift of faith is mountain-moving faith. And there have been some people I've come across in my lifetime that didn't beg God for faith. They didn't struggle so much to just trust God to do the impossible in their lives. Now, how many of you would admit that you have struggled sometimes with faith? You say, I just don't have that mountain-moving faith, at least right now. But this gift does have that. It's the gift, the spiritual gift, spirit-given ability to see something that God wants done and maintain confidence that God will do it regardless of impossible obstacles. I love this writer, and I don't know who it is. It's Anonymous. How many of y'all have ever met Anonymous? Faith is dead to doubts, dumb to discouragements, and blind to impossibilities. Barbara Johnson says, this gift of faith sees light with your heart when all your eyes can see is the darkness. George Mueller, any conversation on the gift of faith, you're going to find a story about George Mueller. He operated an orphanage in England for 60 years and took in over 10,000 orphans. And here was the unique thing about his ministry. He never let his needs be known to anybody except through God in prayer. And God fed 10,000 orphans over 60 years without ever making those needs known except in prayer. One morning he had not a speck of food or milk on hand for hundreds of hungry orphans seated at the breakfast table. And Mr. Mueller prayed, Father, we thank you for the food that you're about to give us. And shortly there was a knock at the door. A baker stood there and says, I was awakened at 2 o'clock this morning and felt like I should bake some bread for you. A few minutes later came another knock. The milkman said, my milk wagon just broke down in front of your orphanage. I've got to get rid of these cans of milk before I can get the wagon in for repairs. This kind of faith thanks God in advance. You ever do that? You ask God for something? Do you ever take the time to say, God, I'm not just going to ask you, but I'm going to thank you. I thank you that you hear my request. God, thank you that you hear me. God, thank you that you see me in my time of need. How many of you believe that God sees his children when they're in times of need? I thank you, God, that you hear me. I thank you that you see me. And I thank you that your promise is to come and deliver me and provide for me, because I am your child. And Lord, I believe that no matter what the obstacles, that you don't take your eyes or your ears or your hands off of me. Our own dear Jerry Snipes, who is with the Lord right now, used to tell me at least once a month, he would say, the gift of faith is not believing that God can, but it is knowing that God will. And that powerful, that is the gift of faith in operation. That's mountain-moving faith. It's a relentless faith that says, God, I am not going to take no in this situation. Edna Butterfield tells of her husband, Ron, who taught a class of mentally impaired teenagers. She said, Ron always saw his students' capabilities rather than their limitations. Boy, that requires some faith, doesn't it? How many of us are good at seeing people's capacities rather than their limitations? She said, Ron got his students to play chess and to restore furniture and to repair electrical appliances. And most important, he taught his students to believe in themselves. Young Bobby, mentally impaired, proved how well he learned this lesson from his teacher. One day, he brought in a broken toaster to repair. He carried the toaster tucked up under one arm, and guess what he had under the other arm? A loaf of bread. Isn't that great? That's the gift of faith, isn't it? Reminds me of the town that called a prayer meeting. It hadn't rained in months, and they called the people together, and everybody prayed, but only one little girl brought her umbrella. One little girl brought her umbrella. She said, we're going to pray, and God's going to send the rain. That's the gift of faith, isn't it? And we stop short most of the time because we get discouraged. But mountain-moving faith, the gift of faith, don't forget what that is. It's dead to doubts. It's dumb to discouragements. And it's blind to impossibilities. So I want to tell you as we stop for tonight on this spiritual gift, it's always too late to stop having faith in a God who loves us and cares for us more than we could possibly imagine. I just want to say to God, and I want to say to you, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for a miracle. Have faith in God. Can you sing it with me? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for a miracle. Have faith in God. I want to end with that gift of faith, because next week we'll talk about the sign gifts, which are probably the most controversial group of gifts. But we're going to look not just at the scripture, we're going to look at the early church too, to see how God worked healings and miracles and sign gifts that we've seen throughout church history. That some of the great people, you'd be surprised at how many things John Wesley recorded of how he saw the hand of God move even on his horse when it was sick. How many of you know if you're an itinerant traveling preacher, it's important to have a good horse that's well? I do pray, brothers and sisters, will you lay your hand on your heart again, and will you thank God that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and that because of that, you've been baptized into the body, and when you were baptized into the body of Christ, the Spirit of God came to live within you. He resides and He presides. He knows how to run your life. He's organized you. He's put His Spirit in you to get the most out of who you are and your place in the body of Christ. What we need to do is say, God, help me to seek You and help me to be available to You so that every gift that's in me through the Holy Spirit can flow with ease and be a blessing to the body of Christ. Father, will You bless us as we seek Your face and Your heart. We thank You and praise You, Father, for the gifts of Your Holy Spirit. We come to You tonight, Lord, often bankrupt and lacking our own resources, but we thank You, Lord, for those days in our lives when we remember that it's not about our power, it's not about our might, but it's about Your Spirit and what You've put in us. So I pray for my brothers and sisters today that they would not just live a natural life, but that they would live a supernatural life, that their life would be motivated and run and empowered by the Holy Spirit. If there's anybody here tonight, Lord, in this room or watching by live stream, Lord, that feels like that they are hopeless or helpless, would You quicken their hearts? Will You remind them of the life they have in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? Re-enliven them, reawaken them, and refill them, Lord, for the days and seasons of their lives that are ahead, that they would be able to trust You in life and in death. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.